here tonight. Pastor always figures out a way, doesn't he? He said, "Oh, well, I always try to sneak out of business meetings." He figured out a way to make me stay in it. tonight, I want to talk on the subject of service. I was going to preach the sermon I had ready for Christmas, and or the 25th of December, as some call it. But he stole my sermon. He preached it Sunday. And I thought, well, that was pretty much the whole sermon. and then I told Pastor afterwards, I said, well, it's a good thing we didn't preach the 25th, because I would have preached the same sermon he preached on the same day. But tonight, I just want to talk quickly about service. I planned on having 20 minutes, and so I will now get 25 minutes, and I'll take that. Service is quite a questionable thing today, whether it be to serve others in the street, at work, or even in the Lord's ministry. A lot of times we think of service, and when we think of service, we think only of in this building. We think of ministry in this building. And we think of ministry and service on Sundays and Wednesdays. Service goes so far beyond just 2 days of the week. Service goes so far beyond just a couple hours of the week. And yet we have minimized what service is so that we don't have to serve. So tonight I am going to start with the title, Will You Serve? If you would, take your Bibles and open them to the book of John. And we will be in John chapter 12. We're going to focus on three verses, but tonight, just to have a little bit of context, we're going to read a couple extra verses. We'll start in verse 20, John chapter 12, verse 20. I'm glad to have my little sister Grace with me tonight. Now, if you see Grace and you look at me, you'll realize that we don't look anything alike. And if you say we look alike, you need to get your eyes checked. But Grace's family took me in Peru when I was 19 years old and made me one of theirs. And they are an extended family of mine. They're just as close as blood. And I am thankful that she was able to drive up today from this week from Georgia to be with us. John chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse 20, and we're just going to read through verse 26. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's a beautiful scripture to read tonight. Probably not something that I generally always preach on, but just really hit my heart this week about service. As I'm going through several books, and seems like the older I get, the more I read. Maybe one day I'll read as much as your pastor does, but I'm afraid I'm going to wear my eyes out and have to get surgery. But no, I have, as I'm reading and studying, one of the things that the Lord has really touched my heart on is service. So this, tonight we are going to focus on just three things, and then we will finish. The first thing I want us to see tonight is that we must die to self. We must die to self. We get to verse 24-25, the Word of God says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now that's a pretty interesting concept, isn't it? That the grain of wheat, or as the scripture says, the corn of wheat, it must fall to the ground, but it must die to bring forth life. And if we understand that concept, it's a very clear concept, because that was the concept of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For Christ to bring life to us, He had to die. He had to be put in the ground to bring life unto us, because if He had not died and then sprung forth or rose again, there would not be new life for us. There would not be new life. And so, what does it require for there to be new life? There must be death. The problem that we face today is that we want to hold on to this life, and we do not want to die to ourselves. You see, we do not want to take up that cross and follow Him. We do not want to be crucified daily. Why? Because we love life. I hate to say this, but many times we love this world. We love our life in this world. We tend to forget, and I use the word we because I am myself am included. We forget that we are not citizens of this world. Yet we are very preoccupied in our minds and our lives with this world, are we not? We forget that our citizenship, if we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, is in heaven. It does not belong here. Yet what are the things that we worry about today? We worry about finances. We worry about our work. We worry about our houses, our vehicles. We worry about our bank accounts. We worry about everything on this earth that is temporal. We worry about our bodies more than we do our souls. Is that not true? Many times around this time of the year, many will decide to go on a diet. It is the new year. I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to take care of my body. Me and Brother Jay went to the gym the other day, and it was full. It was first part of the year, and man, was it full. I mean, it looked like they had a 2-for-1 special. It only took about a week, and that started to disappear. But we try to take care of our bodies. We get checkups. We go to the doctor. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. If you want a checkup, go see Courtney. She's a good doctor. But we try to take care of ourselves. We try to go on a diet. We make those decisions. Yes, even the kind of clothes we wear. What's warmer? What's more comfortable? We care so much about this temporal body. And we forget that it is temporal. You see, unless that corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it's there alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You know, the amazing thing, I was thinking about this, one of my favorite fruits is apple. I love apples. And I grew up in Michigan, and we have the best apples in the world. I don't care what state of Washington says, we have the best apples in Michigan. And you know what the neatest thing about an apple is? With just one seed, you can grow a tree. And that seed, when it brings forth a tree, that tree does not bring forth just one apple. It brings forth much fruit. But it's important for that seed to dry, to die, for it to bring forth fruit. The Word of God says here in verse 25, "He that loveth his own life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Amen. It's attitude. Is that our desire to die to self, to bring forth lots of fruit? I would say that as we sit in our pews and even as I stand here, our desire, our hope would be to say, yes, that's what I want to do. But you know one thing I've learned? If we really want to do something, we will do it. A lot of times we talk about the things we want to do, like losing weight or getting in shape or changing things and changing habits in our lives. But you know what? We really don't do it, do we? I have a favorite chocolate I like to eat from Peru, and this chocolate bar, they've designed it just right. It consists of 5 squares. So you can't eat just half, can you? And my idea is, okay, well, I'm just going to have 2 squares. But I want a little bit more, so I'll have the 3rd square. Well, now there's only 2 squares left. What's the sense? Might as well just finish it off. If I really didn't want to eat it, if I really want to take care of myself, I would stop. My actions prove what my heart's desire really is. So many times our actions prove that we love this world and we do not hate this world. So many times we walk into church and we will sing songs like, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." But then our actions, our lives prove that is the very opposite. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that where our treasures are, that's where our hearts would be. And I feel like, as I examine my own life, a lot of times my heart is too close to this place called earth. The Word of God says that we must die to ourselves. But I want you to see the second part of this. He says we must follow to serve. We must follow to serve. First, we die to self. Look at verse 26, the very first part. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be." Today, in our modern Christianity, we believe that serving Christ is sitting in a pew. Now, we should be in the pews when God's preacher is in the pulpit, correct? But that is not service. That is, we are gathered to worship. Brethren, we have gathered to what? To worship. And yet many of us will define our worship as service. But what are we doing as we sit? I placed that video up at the beginning because many times, as the pastor has mentioned throughout the year, previous year, we think it's about us, and it really is not. This shouldn't be the cruise ship experience. This should be the battleship experience. This is where we are prepared. Our hearts have been prepared and our voices have been raised and we have praised God. We have worshiped God. But to go out. Amen. You see, the Word of God says here that if any man serve me, let him follow me. Yet we have the book. We have the map of how to follow. Yet we are not moving. We are not going anywhere. It amazes me today how much we do not do because we do not follow. The Lord said that the man that would want to serve would follow him. And he told us in those instructions that to follow him, we would have to what? Take up our cross. Is that an easy task? No, it's not. There are many days as I examine my life, I think I look at that cross and I say, that's too heavy to bear. How about tomorrow? Can I carry it tomorrow? Can I carry it just for one step? You see, the one that would truly want to serve has to learn how to follow. I praise the Lord for the man that He's placed in this church to guide the way. So often, we look at things and say, well, do I like it? Am I comfortable? Is it the experience I want? Let me tell you something. Taking up a cross is not an experience anyone would really want. You see, every time I think of that word, that scripture, I think of taking up the cross means to be in sacrifice. In that mode of thinking that something must die if I am going to follow Him. If we are to serve, we must follow. Amen. I want us to see our last point. I'm doing pretty good on time. You must serve to be honored. Verse 26, second part of it says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. What do we seek after today? Let's be honest. We seek after the honor without the service. We seek after the service without the following. We want God's blessing on us. We want to be honored by God by doing absolutely nothing. By doing the very minimum. He says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, the Word of God doesn't go into detail here. It doesn't say exactly how you will be honored. I was thinking about this as Pastor had been preaching about heaven, and that was exciting to hear about heaven, isn't it? It gets me excited. And the last couple days, we've had lots of clouds. And I was thinking, Lord, is this the time? I'm listening for the trumpet. I'm ready. You know, a lot of times we're hoping and praying that that honor is here on earth. We want to be honored temporally, and yet His honor is eternal. I was thinking about many weeks ago, your pastor talked about receiving crowns. And it wasn't too long after that I was doing a study with the men, and we were talking about the crowns, the very same crowns. Oh, how neat it would be to be honored with a crown to lay at the feet of Jesus. But let me tell you something. The scripture does not say that we would be honored without service. And we cannot serve without following. I like this quote by D.L. Moody. I was talking about D.L. Moody the other day. A woman had a husband that was an unbeliever. He was a drunk, and it's told that D.L. Moody took this drunk and put him out in the middle of a field, and he lit a fire around where the drunk was laying. And when he woke up in his stupor, he thought he was in hell. D.L. Moody had a passion for souls, but he says this about service. He says, I am only one. I want you to listen to this because a lot of times this is what we think. We think we're the only ones. But listen to what D.L. Moody says. He says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Sometimes we think that we don't have what it takes to serve. And yet the scripture says, all we have to do is follow Him and we will serve. The natural reaction of following Christ is then to serve Christ. I may not be able to do everything. I am not everyone, but I am one, and I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Would that be our plea? Would that be our promise? Would that be our as we enter this new year? I read this poem, and I'm not much on poetry. As a matter of fact, I don't share poems very much. On Facebook, if someone shares a poem, I would just scroll right past it. I remember in high school, they made us write poems, and I thought they were the dumbest things. But sometimes those dumb little things speak to us. And I read a poem today. It said, the master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf, there were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value. I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, master, gold would be the best. Unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. It was wide mouth and shallow and polished like glass. Here, here, cried the vessel, I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, called the globe of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my content so dear. Though fragile am I will serve you with pride. And I'm sure I'll be happy your house to abide. The master came next to a vessel of wood polished and carved. It solidly stood. You may use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said, but I'd rather you used me for fruit, not for bread. Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one who is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, nor one who displays his contents so proud. Not the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with my power and might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day. Spoke to it kindly, there's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour into you. Amen. Will you be honored by the Father? Pastor.